This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
My son can remember stats before he was born. He can tell you who was playing on certain teams and things like that. And football is just his passion. Now, he's big for his age. For a 12-year-old, he's 5'8". And a pretty big kid, but you know, he hangs around a 6'2 sister. So he doesn't really look that tall to me until I notice him with his classmates in school and things like that. But I've been with Chick-fil-A since I graduated college. I went to Clemson University, majored in industrial management with a concentration in industrial engineering. My wife is an early childhood education major, and we run a chicken chain. All right. It's a restaurant industry, is what I tell myself for industrial management. But So I worked in the restaurant since I was 14 years old with a group called Fuddruckers. I know there's at least one here in Columbia. And man, I love Fuddruckers. And folks are like, man, it's so expensive. And I'm going to tell you what, if you had to grind that beef and make the bread every day and things like that, that's why it's so expensive. But it really is good. It really is fresh. And Fuddruckers I worked at for 9 years, and then I moved to Chick-fil-A. And my wife had a little bit to do with that. We didn't know exactly what we were going to do out of college. And one day, she was crying about us not having a job, although I actually at the time had 3 jobs and she had 2. She was crying about us not having a job and about to get married right out of college, and said to me, we could always try and open a Chick-fil-A. You ever had those God clarity moments? Literally within a minute, both of us had clarity and peace. That's what we were doing. We've talked about jobs. We talked about working for a long time. What we were going to do. I had a couple different job offers. Had one. I was going to a third interview later that week that we had that conversation. And I canceled that interview because it, with great clarity, God said, that's it. And so we both said to each other, I mean, it wasn't minutes after she said that, that's it. And so that's a great God clarity moment in my life. Unfortunately, he's not given me quite as many of those since then, but he has given me a few of them. And so we pursued Chick-fil-A, worked there for about 2.5 years. And at 25, some fool at Chick-fil-A corporate office decided to allow myself and my wife to operate a Chick-fil-A restaurant. Now, I'm not real sure why in the world anyone would have entrusted us with that, but they entrusted us with a $2.5 million investment and a national brand. And I think that's crazy. But that's what they did. And so I'm going to talk a little bit with you today just about my experience as being a workplace professional, using my skills and my talents to be able to lead, to be able to manage a business, to be able to grow a business, marketing, serving and leading other people, to talk with you about what I'm going to call vocational ministry. Vocational ministry being every believer's calling. And a lot of times when we think about vocational ministry, we think about what? What was that?
Ministers, pastors.
Ministers, pastors. Folks called to full-time ministry. All right, we think of those folks that serve on church staff, that work at Bible colleges, that serve as international missionaries, right? That's their vocation. And I believe, and I believe it's God's calling on my life as well as every believer's life, that we're all called to vocational ministry. Whatever our vocation may be, that God is calling you to be on mission for Him. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And I'm really just going to do that by sharing my story and how I've got there. But as we consider that, I want us to consider some scripture and God's calling on us as believers to do that. I think of vocational ministry as we are called to work, or called by God, sent to work. So we are called by God to be followers of Jesus Christ, and we are sent to work. So some folks, some of you may be not struggling, but trying to figure out where God's calling you. And it may be something in a traditional vocation. It may be something international. But you're struggling. What is that? Where is God calling me? So God is calling you. And He's sending you to work. What that work looks like is what you've got to figure out with God. And I pray that God gives you clarity like He gave my wife and I clarity on what that is. So I think of Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works He prepared in advance for us to do. And just aside from that for a second, that's one of my greatest fears in life, is that I am not doing the work that God prepare in advance for me to do. You meet folks that a lot of times it's hard for them to say no. It's hard for me to say no. Because I always wonder, is this one of the works that God's prepared in advance for me to do? So that's a little personal insight on that scripture from my own perspective. But from your perspective, God has prepared work for you to do. Whether that's in your family life, in your community, in your vocation, or on the mission field, wherever it may be. I think of Daniel 1:8. It's good to have mentors. And if we could job shadow someone that does vocational ministry outside of being a minister or a pastor, someone that did that well biblically would be Daniel. Daniel 1:8, or in Daniel, the whole chapter 1 there, where Daniel is called into service of the king, and the king wants these folks fed off of the king's table. The best meats and the best food and the king's wine. And Daniel does not want to defile himself by eating of that food. So he asks just for vegetables. You may know the story. And they says he begs with his supervisor and says, please allow me and my friends that hold these beliefs to follow this nutrition and see if we're not as fit as anyone else. And what did he do? He impacted the culture that he was working in. So here he is doing worldly work for a worldly king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he impacts the culture in which he's working. So much so that they change the diet of all the folks that are working with Daniel because of his results. King Darius called folks, well, was influenced to call the entire nation to pray to no one for a certain period of time other than him. And Daniel chose not to be obedient to that. Daniel chose to be on mission. And King Darius, when they said, hey, you sent out a decree that can't be revoked, you said we've got to throw him in the lion's den. King Darius was upset because he loved Daniel. And he said to Daniel, may your God protect you in the lion's den. And he impacted that nation because he was true to his God. Think of Matthew 5, 15 through 16, when I think about being called by God and sent to work, where it talks about being a lamp on a stand and let your light shine. As a follower of Christ, you are to be a light to others. And oftentimes, in serving 1,500 customers a day at Chick-fil-A, oftentimes in working in my business community, I have to be a light. Much like this light that's shining right now in my eyes. It's hard to ignore that. I can feel the heat of that. It influences me. Right? I joked earlier as I put my microphone on my lapel. He said, be careful if you move it around. And I said, well, as long as I don't get hot and start taking this coat off. And I thought that was a joke. I didn't realize it was serious. But to be that lamp on a stand, to let our light shine, I can see the light. I can feel the light. I am influenced by that light. And God calls us to do that. In Psalms 90:17, the psalmist calls upon God to establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. And that's going to lead me into the vision that I have for my business. So I have set a vision for my business. What it is, when I think of a vision, a vision is a picture of the future that stirs passion within me today. Vision is a picture of the future that stirs passion within me today. And so when I put a vision on my business, what it is I want to accomplish? What is it that makes me get up in the morning and go, yeah, I want to go work at Chick-fil-A, right? Now, I like chicken. Right? Oddly enough, 20 years I've not gotten tired of eating chicken. My wife has, but I have not. I like chicken a lot. But man, I'm not passionate about getting up to make a sandwich. or to serve 1,500 folks, or deal with the difficulties that come with leading a team of 70 to 80 people. My passion comes from somewhere else. So I asked Caleb to share a picture of my vision, and I'll ask him if he can pull that up. And I'll introduce it to you just to talk a little bit about initially, when I first started at 25 years old, remember I said some fool at Chick-fil-A said, hey, why don't you run this new Chick-fil-A store? My vision was to have a positive influence, that provide an environment that was nurturing and all this good stuff. And so over time, I really felt like that does not get me super excited to come into work. And so I spent 6 months crafting the vision for my business. And this is what I came up with. And this is a pretty rough picture here, but I wanted it to be something that folks that worked on my team, when I first introduced it, if they remember nothing else, they could remember the hands, head, and heart piece. And part of it is, it's a progressive vision. And I'll ask you, what's your vision for whatever it is that you may do? And what is your vision for your academic time that you're in right now? What's your vision if you're in work somewhere right now? Maybe you're not the leader of that business, but what's your vision? What is it that gets you passionate about being there? What is it that you want to accomplish long term? And this is what it is for me. I want to influence and engage the hands, the head, and the heart of those that I have the opportunity to influence. Most of the time that's team members. Sometimes it's customers as well, if we have the opportunity to have that relationship. But I know it's difficult to see everything on there, but with the hands part, the action there is to pursue excellence in the work of our hands. And we're going to do that by doing the things that are listed there. That's the first part. We are a restaurant. We need to be able to be in business, actually, in order to have any influence on anyone. And so in order to do that, we want to serve craveable food, provide remarkable service, be refreshingly clean, and surprisingly fast. That's how we do what we do at Chick-fil-A. And I want to teach young people and old people alike that come to work with me, to come to work in my environment, how to be productive in their work, how to work hard and have a strong work ethic and pursue excellence and all the things that go into pursuing excellence in the work of our hands. Now, you'll see there in the middle, right to the I guess that's the right. Yeah, the right. It says time. So when I bring someone onto the team, we focus on it first, the work of your hands. It's been said, every time you hire a pair of hands, you get a free heart and a free brain. All right? Comes with the hands. And while I need people to use their hands, to work with their hands in order to be successful in operating a business, therefore that I have a platform to influence people with, I need them to work well with their hands. And over time, I have the opportunity to engage their head. Right? And that sounds funny, but you've had someone tell you, maybe engage your brain. Probably your parents when you did something not so smart, poor decisions. Maybe a teacher or professor that said, hey, you need to engage your brain here for a second. That's what I want to do with my team. I want to challenge the mind that are on our team. I want to do that by expecting continuous improvement. All right, always learning, always growing. I want to do that by challenging them to set, help them set and achieve personal goals. Right. One of my interview questions is I talk to folks about personal goals. What are your goals? And if they don't have any, I'm really not all that interested. I had one team member, or potential team member, that the lady that does the first interviews for me, I came back after second interview and I said, she just has no goals, the young girl that we interviewed. And she said, man, I believe in her. Let me work with her to set some goals. And if she's willing to do that, can we then bring her on the team? And I said, okay. And that worked out pretty well. She wasn't with us forever, but that worked out fairly well. And then also developing leadership skills. I think our world needs folks that can lead well and that are accountable leaders and they're responsible for leading well according to the Lord. And so once we've done that, once we've engaged their head, we've helped them set, not necessarily achieve their goals yet, but we've helped them set those and kind of lay out a plan. I have a question a lot of times I ask of young people that have taken a semester off. I'll say, so what's your plan? Well, I plan to go back to school, things like that. And I said, okay, are you planning or hoping? Well, I'm planning on it. Well, what's your plan? well, maybe in the fall or that next spring. I said, so you're hoping, right? So helping them set those plans in place. Once we've done that, we develop trust. And again, it is progressive. So we get to develop trust, and that gives us the opportunity to impact their heart. Now, guys, this is the part that I get passionate about. This is the part that I love. When I thought about what do I want to do with my business, this is it. This is the big piece. The heart is the big piece. And it's to take that opportunity to impact the heart of others. Three main ways we do that is love others as family. If you've got a brother or sister, like I do, got an older brother and older sister, there's probably no one you've been more mad at in your entire life than a brother or sister. Right? My sister and I had a fight once. I was using a belt buckle. She was using a vacuum cleaner. It ended with a hole in her door. Right? And the skin scraped off my toes where she slammed the door onto my toes. So those things don't always go very well. I've jumped over furniture. I've bound up steps chasing after a brother or a sister to fight. My brother, being 7 years older than me, was a big fan of professional wrestling when he was in high school. I have a very high pain threshold. So I got beat up a lot. But loving others as family, how does that work? So someone that you could be most annoyed with and most mad at any given time, and then all of a sudden when they need you, you're there, right? My sister is 4 years older than me, is incredibly protective of me, always has been, still is. So I coached a soccer team that her daughter and my daughter were on, and a parent was, you know, talking about the coach. And she stood up and said, maybe you don't know that my brother is the coach, and you need to shut your mouth with all three teeth. That's what she said. All three teeth before I knock those out. That's a protective sister. Now, it's the same one I want to beat with a belt buckle. But, right? So she can be mad at me, and she's going to be first one in my defense. She's going to be first one to come and help in my time of need. Right? Why? Why? Because that's what family does. That's how family loves. And so with my team, I want to love others like family. And I tell folks, when they come on my team, you're mine. Now, most folks think that means I'm going to work your tail off, and that may or may not be the case. But what it means to me is that you're part of the family. We want to love others as family. As I said, that's what I get excited about. I see guys coming up the counter like I used to talk to my wife, Jill, and I interject into that conversation. And go, hey, who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? I see you're here talking to Megan. Why? Right? So loving others as family. Having a significant influence. We'll talk a little bit more about significance in just a minute, but having a significant influence in people's lives. Right? You've had some folks that have influence in your life, and man, you know, I picked up the way I say this or the way I look at things, my perspective on things from this person, but you don't have a lot of people that have had a significant influence on your lives. Right? Some of you guys getting a little older now, you're starting to see some of the behaviors and things your mom or your dad said to you starting to come out. Why do you have children? And you find yourself acting just like your mother or your father. And you're like, oh my goodness. The scariest thing to me about that is that now my mom's 72 and a little OCD, which I'm also a little OCD with things. My fear is that I'm going to act like that when I'm her age. So I already apologize to my children. But loving others as family, having that significant influence on folks. Again, we'll talk about significance in a minute. And then lastly is being a spiritual marker. Being a spiritual marker, and with folks that I hire on the team, I usually have to take just a minute to explain that being a spiritual marker. Being a spiritual marker is, in the Old Testament, whenever God did something great in the life of his people, he told them, build a marker here so that future generations will know what took place. My desire is the work that I do with my team and in my community, with some of my customers, that they would look back years from now and go, because I worked there, because of that relationship, it's made a spiritual difference in my life. That's what excites me. It excites me to see team members that worked for me 10 years ago to come back and talk about what they learned working at Chick-fil-A. Some of those being folks I fired. Going, man, it was great. One of the best things that happened to me was you fired me. I'm like,
Is that a compliment?
Yeah. But that's important. So what is your workplace vision? What is wherever your workplace is right now? And that may be being a student. What is your vision? If you don't know what that is, you need to spend some time doing it. By spending time doing it, I spent 6 months. So spend some time working on it. I'll move to my quest for significance. Early on, 25 to probably close to 30 years old, I pursued success because culture said you need to be successful. So for me, success was sales increases. It was high scores from customer surveys, from Chick-fil-A inspections, things like that. Profitability. And I was very successful. But I found it was very empty. And I went home wanting more every day. And God showed me over time that my pursuit, my desire was truly for significance, not success. The video just watched about LifeShape, which was formerly a program called WinShape International, is now LifeShape International, has provided part of that opportunity for me to be significant. To use my gifting, right? I was at a missions conference. They had a business luncheon. They had some missionaries doing what they were calling at the time business's missions. And this guy was talking, and I talked to him afterwards, and I said, yeah, but how do I fit into that? And he said, what do you do? So I run a chicken joint. And he said, great. People eat all over the world. Do what you do to glorify the Lord. Use your skills to glorify the Lord. I said, well, my skills are management, leadership, service and hospitality. And so God's given me the opportunity through LifeShape to participate in short-term projects, lead short-term projects around the world. Over the past 7 or 8 years, I've been to Dubai. I've been to many of the places that were pictured there. Kenya, Rwanda, Burundi, South Africa, Malaysia, Indonesia, Cuba, Mexico twice, Cuba twice, Thailand. And I've had the opportunity to do several different projects. I teach servant leadership, Chick-fil-A's leadership model, around the world. I've been able to do work projects. You know, I can now mix cement by hand and make mortar and put a brick in place as long as we have some local behind us straightening everything up. Care for children. Clean out a building in the slums that's used for a praise choir to keep children involved with singing as opposed to sex and drugs. That's prolific there. So I've chosen to do that. A couple times, once, twice a year, have the opportunity to do that. And it's been significant to me. I've chosen to serve in my local church. I've chosen to serve with a crisis pregnancy center that's in our community as I serve on their board and volunteer my time there. I serve on the school board at the local Christian school as we try to grow that, expanding now to international students. So I challenge you. God may not be calling you to international missions, to live in a mud hut, sleep under the stars, but He's calling you to work. He's calling you and He's sending you to work. And that may be as a business professional, maybe as a teacher. But whatever God's given you, whatever gifting He's given you, use it to reach the nations. Because guys, the nations are here. The nations are here among us. We live in an international community. And you have the opportunity to impact the hands, the head, and the heart of those that you work with, that you spend time with, that you go to the coffee house and have coffee with, or eat across from the restaurant. You impact them with your words. You impact them with your actions, your willingness to serve, your willingness to extend love when others will not.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.